Well, as I said, we've been traveling a lot this time, and we took 5 weeks, which by the last week was seeming like it's just too long, you know. And we've been in France a little bit, then we went to Moldova, and then the rest of the trip was in UK. And on our trip, we went to Belfast. Yes, I knew Sonia would like that. Sonia is from there, her parents are still there. And one of the things in Belfast is the Titanic Museum. That's where Titanic was built, actually, okay? And so when we got to the Titanic Museum, I didn't think that I'll preach a sermon about this, okay? I didn't. But then as I was walking through it, even after I took all the pictures, and I knew when I'm coming home, the first Sabbath I'm preaching, more and more was coming to me, all of those things that we saw in the museum. You know, it was built right there and how it was built, it was showing. But, you know, we got to a point in the museum towards the end of the exhibits, and it was something called the witness testimonies. Okay? It's a whole wall, as you can see. It's even longer. The witness testimonies. It was covering an entire wall, the testimonies of the survivors, testimonies of the crew members, investigators, and officials. And a few weeks after the disaster of the Titanic, you know, the British Wreck Commissioner's inquiry began, and they went over 38 days of inquiry and testimonies, and nearly 100 witnesses answered more than 25,000 questions about what happened there. Because the world wanted to know what happened, because this was an unsinkable ship. The world needed answers. And so they did this inquiry, okay? And the investigation revealed that Titanic did not sink because of one mistake. It sank because of a chain of key events and failures. So individually, each one may not have seemed catastrophic, and it wouldn't have been a problem if they happened just one of those. But when they were combined together, it became deadly. And as I was reading about this and looking at all of these exhibits, I thought about that the same is in our spiritual life. Very few people wake up one morning and decide to abandon their faith. Spiritual shipwreck usually happens through a series of small compromises, ignored warnings, or neglected disciplines and poor decisions. It's a process. The same as what was here. It's a combination of different things. Many spiritual disasters begin with this phrase, "I know what God says, but..." Did you guys hear what I said? Most of the disasters in spiritual life happen with this phrase, "I know God what God says, but..." Many spiritual disasters begin when we know what God says, but allow our feelings, our desires, our circumstances, or distractions to convince us that we can safely ignore God's warnings. You know, my circumstances in life are such that I can ignore such, you know, this thing or that thing, what God says, or, you know, I feel this way, so I can ignore what God says about this particular topic or this particular topic, and all of those combined together, and it's a disaster in our spiritual life. Now, in the same exhibit, as we were walking by this wall, that was... this exhibit, it's right by the wall there. There's kind of, you know, you can see displays there. There's 8 displays with 8 key events what happened to lead to this disaster. Okay? So today I would like to look at those 8 key events. And I would like us to look and see what those things can teach us in our spiritual life. and how we can avoid a spiritual shipwreck. That is why I entitled my sermon today, How to Keep Your Life from Sinking. We can learn some valuable lessons from this big disaster, one of the greatest maritime disasters in history, and see how we can apply that in our spiritual life. So let's look at these eight ones today. And some of them I knew, and some of them were new to me, okay, when I was looking at that. So number one was adverse weather conditions. Adverse weather conditions. Now, Titanic traveled in the North Atlantic shipping lanes, and those routes were created to ensure safety and shortest passage to North America, okay? And those routes were created specifically to avoid icebergs. However, that year, the weather was a little bit different, okay? Unusual brisk winds that year, they have pushed the icebergs further south than normal, and sending one of them right into the path of the Titanic. In a normal year, where the weather was normal, there wouldn't be any icebergs in the path of the Titanic. But because an unusual year, this adverse weather conditions, that's why that iceberg was there. So, what is the lesson for us in our spiritual life? The lesson is that unexpected storms will come that will push icebergs directly in your path. Sometimes difficulties arrive that are completely outside of our control. And maybe a diagnosis, and some of you have been dealing with that. A betrayal, a financial crisis, a family problem, etc., etc. These are the big icebergs that storm pushes it in your path. We cannot control the weather of life, but we can prepare for it. Amen? We can prepare for that. So the Bible says in Matthew 7:25, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on what? On the rock. It was founded on the rock. Now let me tell you this, and you already know that. Jesus never promised a storm-free life. He didn't. He only promised a storm-free proof foundation. Amen. And we all can build our lives on that strong foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So what is your life built on? That's number one question. On what kind or what type of foundation? Look what Ellen White says, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 10. Very short. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from where? From our character. We talked a little bit about suffering during the Sabbath school, okay? And that's a continuation of that. There will be icebergs coming towards you. There will be those unexpected things in your path. But if you're built on a strong foundation, on a rock, Jesus Christ, that you will see those sufferings as an opportunity for growth. You'll see those in this opportunity of growth. So a man proudly told his friend, my life is like a cruise ship, smooth sailing all the way. And his friend replied, then you're either lying or you're still at the dock. Very nice reply, isn't it? Everyone eventually encounters icebergs, difficulties. We do encounter those. We can control the icebergs, but we can control how we prepare for the moment of impact. That's all you can do. Some of those are just unexpectedly placed right in your path. All you can do is to prepare for the moment of impact. So the first one was adverse weather condition. Number two, unheeded warnings. Now, and this is very interesting. You might think about something else, but as I was reading, that was very interesting to me. Titanic was equipped with the latest communication technology, all right? They had the latest stuff. It's called Marconi Wireless Telegraph. You know, telegraph, right? They didn't have text messages like us today. Now, However, what was the interesting part for me to find out that this telegraph, this device was primarily intended for relaying passenger messages, not for emergency communications. And what happened, the first class passengers, because they felt entitled, you know, they were just for fun sending messages to everybody. So they occupied the operator with unnecessary messages. And when the messages, warning messages came, the operator, he was struggling to keep the demand with all of this first class guy sending hello and how are you, mother, you know, things, just fun things, unnecessary messages. And he ignored or he just missed the warnings. The operators were overwhelmed with less important messages that didn't matter at all. And that's why we miss God's warnings as well many times. Because we are often distracted with unimportant things in life. And then we don't hear God's warnings because we're distracted. We must make sure that we don't ignore God's warnings because we are overwhelmed with unimportant things in our lives. You know all the things in your life that distract you from hearing God's voice? You know those. Luke 21:34, Jesus says this, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with the cares of this life, and that they come on you," what? Unexpectedly. The cares of life, the unimportant things, we are weighted down with those, and we worry ourselves about those things, about these unimportant things, and we miss the warning messages from God. When our minds become crowded with less important things, we can miss the warnings that God is trying to send us. And that's the lesson number two from Titanic. Number three, the missing binoculars. This was an that was an interesting one for me. I spent the most time on this one, okay? And I'll tell you why. So there were no binoculars in the lookouts. They had to rely on their naked eye to spot dangers in front of them. And it was a treacherous zone there with ice field, and it was a moonless night. It was very flat. It was very hard to see things with the naked eye. So lookout guy, whose name is Fred Fleet, and he survived, told the official inquirer that if they had binoculars, they would have seen the iceberg much sooner. And when asked how much sooner, he replied, "Enough to get out of the way." Just a small thing, binoculars, would have saved the Titanic. Small little things. Now, there's an interesting fact about binoculars, and this is why it was very interesting to me. The great controversy, Ellen White says this, "The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be what? Impossible to distinguish between that except by what? Holy Scriptures." We need spiritual vision. It's called in the Bible spiritual discernment. These are the binoculars. And this is the Word of God. When in the last days, and we're living very close to those last days, all of these things are going to start happening. Ellen White says, and the Bible says, it's going to be so hard to distinguish between what's truth and what is not, that we'll need those spiritual vision, not to rely on our own wisdom and our own naked eye to distinguish that. We'll need God's help with that. We'll need God's help with that in our spiritual life. As I said, there was a very interesting thing that I saw about this, the binoculars. On Titanic, they had a binocular box that was locked by a key. So they put the binoculars in a box, and it was locked by a key. All right? And so these are the keys, actually. These are actual keys that were supposed to actually be on Titanic, but weren't. And one of these keys is for the binoculars box. So what happened? The first second officer, David Blair, he had the key from the box with all the other keys, and these are the actual keys. But he was, right before the main voyage, he was reassigned to somewhere else. And when he left, he took the keys with him. So the binoculars were locked in a box, and the key was gone. So that these guys, thinking, we're not going to bother about this, so they left it locked and were there up there in the lookout without binoculars. That was very interesting to me. So I was thinking about this. So what is the spiritual lesson here for us? Titanic had binoculars that could not be used because the key was missing. Spiritually, God has given us everything we need to see the dangers ahead of us, but the key that unlocks our spiritual vision is prayerfully opening His Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. And unfortunately, too many of our members are missing that key. We have the binoculars available, but we are missing the key to unlock that. Many Christians are missing this key. And that's why Ellen White said that the only way to survive in those last days, you need what? The Holy Scriptures. That's how you'll be able to see the truth, to have this binoculars through which you see the truth. Now, another lesson here is that many Christians try to navigate life using only human wisdom, but spiritual dangers cannot always be seen with natural eyes. Because this is a spiritual battle, isn't it? In the background going on, so we need that vision, spiritual vision. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Apostle Paul says this, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him, nor can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. You need spiritual vision. You need spiritual eyesight. Amen. And we always rely on our own human wisdom, and that's why we fall prey to Satan's deceptions. And that's what's going to happen in the last days. In a world filled with hidden spiritual dangers, we need clear spiritual eyesight. Without spiritual vision, dangers remain invisible until is what? It's too late. Until it's too late. One husband was searching everywhere for his eyeglasses. I had that happen to me, and I probably most of you that wear glasses had that happen. After 20 minutes looking for them, his wife smiled and says, have you checked your head? You know, you always put them on your head like this. And the guy was looking everywhere for his glasses, but they were in his head. The glasses were sitting on top of his head the entire time. And sometimes what we need most is already available, we just aren't using it. Many Christians, do you know, we own probably 5 to 10 to 20 Bibles at home, right? Most of us. But all of us still struggle to see spiritual dangers because we're not using the spiritual eyesight. We're not using the binoculars that God is providing for us. So there was a great lesson from the Titanic. Number 4, high speed. And I took this picture, maybe you can see. It explains, this is where the Titanic was, that's the iceberg. And they were going full speed, even though the captain knew about the dangers of these waters, he still told them to go high speed, full speed. And if they could stop on that speed, that's where full stop would have been, all the way here, because they were going too fast. They were going too fast for them to be able to stop or avoid the iceberg. You know, Captain Smith did not reduce the speed. He believed the crew would react in time if danger were sighted. He believed that. However, when the iceberg was spotted, it was too late. It was too late. Now, the spiritual lesson for us is that we need to slow down before it's too late. Amen? We need to slow down before it's too late. Many people live too fast to hear God's voice in their life. It's just hectic. Too fast. Too busy to pray, too busy to reflect, too busy to listen. Psalm 46, verse 10, one of my favorite verses says what? Be still and know that I'm God. Slow down. Slow down. Listen to God's voice. Allow Him to speak to you. The busyness of life becomes a spiritual liability in our lives. Dallas Willard, I like this quote. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. I agree with him 1,000%. Because we can't become too busy. Everything is fast, fast, fast. And we don't have time to stop. And so that's what happened to Titanic. They were going too fast. And many of us as Christians go too fast in our lives, too busy, hurried, and we never have time for God. And that is a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for disaster. So watch out for that. You know, they have signs on highways and now driving in UK everywhere. Speed kills, right? Physically and spiritually as well. Let's go to number five. This was interesting for me. I didn't know about that. Flooding due to the low bulkheads. Let me explain what I mean by that. So Titanic's lower decks were divided into 16 different compartments, okay? And they separated by watertight bulkheads. They were separated, all the compartments. However, the way they designed those bulkheads, they didn't completely seal all of those. They still left some room on top. So they brought them up to the water line, all right, but not higher. So there was a little bit gap on top of those left. And so when the water started coming in the first one, it reached the top, started overflowing in the second one, it starts overflowing. That's why the Titanic tipped. Because too many of those compartments were filled with water and Titanic could not float anymore. It was designed to float, even in case of emergency like this and disaster. But because of those low bulkheads, the water was overflowing from compartments into one to the next, and water spilled from one compartment to the next until ship was doomed. So what is the spiritual lesson for us here? Small breaches become big problems. One unchecked sin rarely stays isolated. It spills out in your entire life. Sin has a way of spilling over into every compartment of your life. If there is a little opening, it will go everywhere and affect your entire life. You might think, but it's just a small one. It's just a small sin. And we always think it's small when we do it. But when somebody else is doing, wow, that's a grievous sin. But when we do it, it's just a small little mistake. I mean, come on. Sin has that effect. It spills out. And then your entire life is affected, and the lives of people around you are affected. There is an interesting verse in Song of Solomon 2, verse 15, and it says this, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines." The little foxes that spoil the vine. Many people focus on avoiding big sins while ignoring little compromises. Eventually, the compartments overflow. You say, a little compromise here, a little compromise there, it's not going to affect me. No, it does, because it overflows into the next area of your life. Listen what Ellen White says about this verse. She says this, "It is the little foxes that spoil the vines, the little neglects, the little deficiencies, the little dishonesties, the little departures from principle that blind the soul and separated it from God. Little things that spoil it, the entire life." That's what happened to Titanic, was little openings on the top, and it spilled and it doomed the ship. So be careful what you think about your own life and say, but it's a little problem. A little problem can become much bigger, and it will affect your eternal destiny. Number six, insufficient number of lifeboats. And most of you know this one. You heard about this one, right? Titanic had 20 lifeboats, enough to hold about 1,178 people. Now, it's very interesting to see that at that time, the regulations, actually, it met and exceeded the safety regulations of that time. I don't understand that. How can you have 3,547 people, but have lifeboats only for 1,200 people? But those were the safety regulations at that time. If you save about a third, you're okay. After this disaster, they made changes, and now you have to provide lifeboats for every passenger on that boat, which makes more sense, doesn't it? But at that time, there was regulations, and they had only lifeboats for close to 1,200 people out of 3,500. Now, it was thought that if the ship got into difficulty, she would sink slowly, leaving time for passengers and crew to be transferred to a rescue ship. They never thought it would go down so quickly. Unfortunately, Titanic sank before rescue could arrive, and many were left behind. Now, the real problem here with this, it wasn't just the lifeboats. The real problem was that people trusted assumptions about the future. They thought that the ship would never sink. They assumed. That's why we don't even need lifeboats. Assumptions. They assumed there would be enough time to respond if something went wrong. Now, spiritually, we can make the same mistake, same assumptions. We may think, I'll get serious with God later. I have time. I'll change that habit later. I have time. I'll surrender that area of my life later. There will be more time. Assumptions, we will have enough time. The same we make assumptions today in our spiritual life. But the Bible warns us that not to presume upon tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says this, behold, when? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, it's today. Never assume that you have tomorrow. Never assume that. The greatest danger is not having the opportunity to prepare. It's assuming we will always have more time to prepare. That's how we live today. Every one of us talks about what's happening in the world, and Pastor, we see that Christ's coming so quick and it's soon, but then when we go about our business as usual and we forget to prepare for that because we assume we still have more time. There is a popular saying, you heard this one? Assumption is the mother of all mistakes. Assumption is the mother of all mistakes. And spiritually, one of the greatest mistakes you can make is assuming that tomorrow is guaranteed, or assuming that we are okay with God. Like the Laodicean church in Revelation, they thought, oh, we're okay with God. But the Bible says they were what? Neither hot nor cold. They were just lukewarm because they assumed that they were okay. And when we assume that we're okay with God, what happens? We fail to search ourselves to see our true spiritual condition. We just assume things. Never assume things, because that's what happened to Titanic. It was the greatest disaster. Let's look at the last two. Lack of evacuation drill. Now, people hate drills. I know that. But in this case, it would have been helpful, actually. That's why when you're on an airplane or anywhere else, you have people talking to you what to do in case. And I know on the airplane, all of us hate that, and we were like, okay, let's just take off. Okay, enough of this talking. But these are important. Actually, it would have saved a lot of lives here. They never held lifeboat drills. And the passengers and crew were totally unprepared for the evacuation. That's why it was such a confusion when it happened, because they didn't know where to go, where to run, what to do. Some of the crew members didn't even know where the boats are and everything like that. And lifeboats actually were loaded chaotically and half-filled, okay? They didn't even put enough people in every lifeboat because they never did the evacuation drills. It was chaos. And many passengers actually from the lower docks, they were hard time locating where the boat dock is. Where can I go? And so a big chaos was there. Now, spiritual lesson from this is this. Crisis doesn't necessarily create our faith. Listen to me very carefully. Crisis actually reveals our faith. It tests it. And if we trust God through that crisis, it will strengthen us and help us grow. So when a crisis happens, for example, you don't build a lifeboat when the ship is already sinking, right? You prepare for that in advance for the crisis. So faith is developed before the crisis happened. The habits we build today determine how we respond tomorrow. And that's why for us people living the last days, it's important to remember that. Because if you want to be prepared for those last days, we need to build the right habits today. Amen? Building the right habits today. 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 says this. Exercise yourself towards what? Godliness. Exercise. Prepare yourself. Prayer is practice. Bible study is practice. Witnessing is practice. Worship is practice. And when trials come, we fall back on what we have practiced. Preparation cannot be postponed until the emergency arrives. We must prepare today and every day. Let's look at the last one. Unheard distress calls. And that really struck me hard. That was the last one on this wall there. You know that during the disasters, there were a lot of boats around, ships around. Some of them 2 hours away, some of them, 3 hours away. Carpathia that came to help them was about 2 hours away, I think, or so. There were several ships in the region, and a lot of them heard the distress calls. However, except one that was the closest. It was called the Californian. And that ship was very, very close. However, the wireless operator of that ship had gone to bed for the night. And no matter how many distress calls were sent, that ship that was the closest couldn't come and save them. Titanic's distress call went unheard by the ship closest to help. So the question is this that I have for you. Are we listening to those in need crying out for help? We read in Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The church is called to keep its spiritual radio and 24 hours a day. We can't just go to bed and ignore the calls and cries for help. Someone's eternal future destiny may depend on whether we're listening or not. God may be trying to reach someone through us, through you. There may be someone today who is searching for hope, and God has chosen you to be the voice that points them to Jesus. And the question is, are you tuned in? Are you listening? Are you listening? So in conclusion, the Titanic was called unsinkable. Yet on April 15th, 1912, she went down beneath the waters of the Atlantic. We can learn some very valuable lessons from this one, how to keep our lives from sinking. The disaster, as I said to you, was not caused just by one failure, but a chain of things. Neglected warnings, poor decisions, misplaced confidence, and lack of preparation. Do you see all of those in our lives spiritually? Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jesus gave us the warning that fits our lesson from the Titanic, and we read that as our scripture reading. In Matthew 24, he says, watch therefore, and what? For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Watch, in other words, what? Be ready, be prepared. You don't know when something comes your way. You don't know when Jesus comes. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared 24/7. Titanic had received warnings, but when the crisis came, it was too late to prepare. In the same way, Jesus warns us today, all of us, not to assume that we have unlimited time. So the question is not whether the iceberg is coming, because the iceberg is coming. That's not the question. The question is this, whether we are spiritually prepared when it does. May God bless you. Amen. Amen.